This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if any of you have ever wondered if priests have anxiety dreams, but we do. I had one. I was awoken about 4 o'clock this morning. I was late in my dream and I was rushing to make the 10:30 service, only to discover all of a sudden I was no longer in my collar, but I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I'd forgotten all of my vestments and I'd somehow forgotten my sermon. I think we all have a version of this dream, right? Where maybe we're back in school and we forgot to study for the test or some other thing. I think it's funny because thankfully it isn't true. But it's also a version of a deeper question that I think all of us ask ourselves. Are we wheat or are we weeds? Are we the bounty of the harvest or are we the intruder, hiding and impersonating what is good and useful? It's the questions we ask ourselves late at night or when we're struggling and we feel inadequate or insufficient, when we feel unable to face the challenges of the world, when our efforts fall short and our faith feels weak, how do we know that we are enough? And this morning's parable reminds us that we can't always tell what is wheat and what is weeds. The differences cannot be discerned safely or dealt with safely until the harvest. If we act too early or too rashly, we risk damaging the wheat instead of protecting the crops. I think even more dangerously, perhaps, the less certain we are of our own status, the more desperate we become to declare that someone else is the weed. The servants in the parable this morning wanted to act because the weed in question, darnel, isn't merely a nuisance. It spreads and it grows among the wheat, and it's toxic. When eaten, it makes people sick. So the threat to the householder and their livelihood was very real. Yet they somehow make the patient decision, even if it isn't without cost. Instead of risking pulling the weeds now and perhaps damaging the crops, they decide to wait and to do the sorting at harvest time. I think we can ask the same question about those around us. The world is all too ready to divide us into factions and to create division. The algorithms that decide our news and our social media feeds, increasingly led by artificial intelligence, feed into these divisions and these fears. Because division and fear drives engagement and drives ad revenue and drives money. Who did our neighbor vote for? What do they believe about politics and immigration? How can we pluck out and remove those who are a threat? This temptation has existed for thousands of years. We see it in the purity laws and the codes of the Pharisees, designed to draw boundaries between who was clean and who was unclean. The technology has changed, but our instinct to build walls and to create illusions of safety has not. The hard question, of course, becomes how do we maintain a relationship with the family member who didn't vote or doesn't act like we do? How do we share communion and a church pew with those who have a different opinion on politics or immigration or sexual ethics? We can isolate and we can remove people all we want, but in the end, we risk doing more harm and destroying more community than we would gain in imagined safety. So what do we do instead of sorting and dividing the world? The reading last Sunday was the parable of the sower, the one who spreads and shares seed recklessly and indiscriminately, not caring if it falls on good earth or on rocky ground. What's important and what matters is spreading and sharing the seeds. Just as we aren't called to be anxious and overzealous weeders, I think we're called to be unrestrained sowers. The sower risks looking foolish and reckless, could also be seen as wasting precious resources that are falling on thorny or rocky soil. But we're called to be less concerned with what is growing around us and its quality, and more concerned with sharing and spreading the good news. We're to act by planting and sharing, not by dividing or by weeding. We see the same refusal to sort play out in our ministry to our homeless neighbors and in our advocacy on their behalf. We don't work as a part of that to determine who is worthy of help or assistance. Matthew gives us two images of the end of times, and we have to hold them together. In today's parable, the harvest sorts the wheat from the weeds. Later in Matthew chapter 25, the division is between sheep and goats. The question, however, is not about who could prove their worth or who is ultimately worthy. The question was, whatever you did for the least of these, the hungry, the stranger, the one in need, there's no mention of worth or of who deserved what. The sheep in question, as a matter of fact, are surprised to learn of what they did, showing us that even the righteous are often unable to discern their own goodness in the moment. We feed and support those who are in need, and we work to dismantle and fight against the systems that create homelessness and leave people without care or resources. The issues are the lack of mental health care, the rising and unaffordable housing costs, a culture that rewards our ability to hide from the problems that surround us. We have to avoid the trap of thinking that the danger is the people who are enmeshed in these systems and not the systemic problems. We can fight for justice without worrying about who is worthy. I think this same refusal, though, becomes even harder to practice in our own pews and in our own families. Many of us, after all, are vocal and outspoken in our fight for justice, and we feel most comfortable when we're surrounded by those who agree with us and who champion the same issues that we do. Several years ago, when my mother was still alive, she could no longer drive herself to the polls. So it was Election Tuesday, and I picked her up, and we went together. If you knew her, you know that she was never one to be quiet about her opinions. And on the way there, she was telling me what she believed and what she'd heard on the news and how she disagreed with me and how I was wrong. And I defended my positions and I gave her my opinion as well. And we both knew that there was something silly about the two of us riding together because our votes were certainly going to cancel each other out. We could have just stayed at home and had the same effect. But we still went, and we shared the experience together, and we still loved and cared for each other, even if we saw the world very differently. The parable doesn't allow us to purge people from our lives who we feel are a threat to our beliefs. But it also doesn't let us sit quietly in the name of peace. We don't have to know who is wheat and who is weeds to feed someone, to stay at the table together, or to fight for what's right. There's mercy in this, I think, because we're reminded that the sorting was never our responsibility. If it involves our neighbor, if it involves ourselves, it's not our decision. We're in charge of sowing, and it's reckless, and it's indiscriminate, and it's loving. We must acknowledge that the shift towards sowing doesn't free us from the doubts that creep up at night. But it does remind us that that was never the question to begin with. I hope that it stops paralyzing us and frees us to do the work of the kingdom. We scatter seed for ourselves, for our homeless neighbor, for our mother in the passenger seat, without worrying about the soil or where it lands. Sowing like this reminds us that the kingdom is built on abundance, and questions of enough aren't relevant. All are worthy, and there is enough for everyone. The contamination we fear in the field is no match for the God who holds the harvest. Nothing can contaminate what is to come. In the end, it's a call to keep sowing, to keep working, protecting, and feeding without worrying about sorting or decisions of worth. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.